catch up. What are we studying about here in this section about Psalm 119?
Attitudes.
And what grows out of those attitudes? The actions that grow out of those attitudes. Okay. Come on in, Sally.
Good morning.
Sandra, good morning. Good to see you guys. Can you get in? Okay. All right. We attitudes and actions. We're on number 8, and we're going to start by reading verse 40 again. We finished up with that. So let's go to 40. And on your sheet, I had verse 42, verse 128, 145 through 147. And this is the attitudes that is in this. It's a very important attitude. It follows what is in verse 40, and I wanted to go back to 40 because his attitude was that he longed for the precepts because they revived him. They brought him his spirit back to life when he was down and out, when he was being mistreated, when he was suffering. And so God's righteous word that he's already pronounced as being righteous, it's right. His precepts are right. They will help you to be revived. He says, I long for that. May your loving kindness, verse 41, also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Here I believe loving kindness and salvation is from the reproaches and reviving him. To get him out of that, we're not talking about salvation from sin at this point, I do not believe. If you determine that through your study, that's okay too, if that's just what you discern. But I believe that his loving kindness that he's going to show by being revived through this and helping him and even asking to be saved from that is speaking to that. Now, in verse 42, so that, why does he love his precepts? Why does he long for them? So that I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. And here is his attitude and why he longs for, why he has a delight in, why he loves that we have studied already. I trust in your work. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Now, in verse 28, what word did you also find there? In 128 that I put there with it. 128 says, therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything I hate, every false way. And I put the wrong verse there that I was going to mention. But 128, he hated the false ways. He loved the precepts. He esteemed them right. He trusted in them because they were right. He thought they were right. So, we're going to read 145 through 147. Lauren, would you read verses 145 and 147?
I cried out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cried out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word.
Okay. So, when he's in this situation, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. And then he cries out to the Lord. What do you think that means? He prays. He's praying to the Lord. He's fervently praying out because he trusts in his commandments. He trusts in his righteousness. He trusts in the Lord to give him the answer that he needs to answer through the word. He cries out with all my heart. This is the second, this is another time that he talks about doing something with all his heart. He seeks the word of God with all his heart earlier in the psalm. All my heart. Diligently, we found earlier in the psalm. So, I keep your testimonies, verse 46. Verse 47, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait. That's not, he's just sitting here waiting for God to zap something. I believe this wait here in so many passages means I hope in your word. He patiently, what's the word? Anticipates an outcome. He hopes in what the promises and the precepts of God, number one, they're righteous, they'll lead him into righteous, and they'll deliver him, whether God will deliver him from the persecution. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes that's not in the picture. But he's a sojourner. He's on a trip. So he hopes in something better, as we've learned. So, in these passages, you think there's a lesson for us here? What lesson did you draw from just this passage? When you got issues coming up, you're facing difficulties. People don't treat you right. Things aren't going just the way we think they ought to be going. We suffer pain. We have loved ones who suffer pain. How would this help us?
Well, if our heart is in God's word, we'll find comfort there.
And what about his precepts and promises?
We believe them.
We believe them.
We trust them.
We trust in them. So, when he was revived by this and found comfort and revived in that, that might get us through a hard time, right? Any other thoughts on that?
He still remains faithful through all his movements.
Yeah, even though he misstepped, and that's in 176, and we're going to look at that, Lord willing. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, but he sinned. But what got him back was God's word and his good and honest heart that he said, man, I'm the man. And he repented. And because he trusted in what the Lord said. And he trusted when God told him about Jesus sitting on his throne one day, that there would be a descendant sitting on his throne forever. So, it's something for us today. It's not just for the psalmist. It's for all of us who experience difficulty and the word of God, that we can trust in it, that we can hope in it, and that we can be able to put one foot in front of the other, actually. Okay. If somebody disagrees, it's okay. That's what we're here for. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's see what God says. Okay. Verses 43b, 49, 74, 147, and 166. We're back to the end of his trust and his delight in and his searching and seeking with all of his heart and his comfort that he gains. What word? What is the result? What's the attitude? One word. Starts with an H.
Hope.
He hopes He believes with anticipation what God says will come to pass, whether revival or salvation. Verse 147. Bobby, would you read verse 147? We read it while ago.
I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word.
I will put your hope in. You see, that's good. The NASB puts, I wait for. The King James Version says, I hoped in your word. The King James says, I cry for help. I hope in your word. The ASV says, I hoped in thy words. The ESV says, I hope in your words. And the literal translation, Young's, I've gone forward in the dawn and I cry for thy word I have hoped in. So, hope. What does he do because he hopes in the word of God and in his salvation?
Waits patiently.
He waits patiently.
But he gets up early in the morning and starts praying.
He keeps on praying. You know, I wanted to bring this up again because sometimes we pray for something and then we put it down. All right, I put it before the throne of God. There was a parable that Jesus taught about a woman who kept nagging a judge. Okay, you know. Okay, so persistent prayer. I rise before dawn. You think he did it one time, or do you think he was on his mind a lot? You know, and it just didn't happen maybe one time during the day. You know, sometimes we're faced with a struggle. And we pray about it in the morning. And then we're in a situation. You think it's okay to pray again about the same thing? You think God gets angry because we nag him about it? I don't think so. He hears us. He wants to hear from us. So he rises before dawn to do that. Any thoughts when you read that? And when you were doing the lesson there, what else did you put down, if anything? Okay, verse 166. Susan, you want to read that?
Yes. Lord, I hope for your salvation and in your commandments.
So, besides praying, what's the other result from hoping in it? For hoping in his commandments. What is he? I almost said it. What's the result?
He follows his commandments. He brings them.
It says, I do your commandments. You going to do something you don't hope in? You going to do something you think is foolish? Don't work. You're going to make a recipe. And you got this recipe. I don't think this is going to make the right kind of pie. It doesn't have this, 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 and this. So you go ahead and make it. You get the right recipe. And you make the pie. And it's fit to eat. So, his attitude towards the Word of God. He hoped in it. And he did it. Do you find things that are being said over and over and over again in this psalm? You think the Holy Spirit forgot what he wrote?
It bears repeating.
And in different things, you see his thought process. And maybe we can identify with some of those. Anyone have a comment? Okay. No, let's do J first. Verse 47, 48, verses 97, 113b, 119b, and 147 and 148. What's the attitude there?
Is it 147 or just 47?
It is
47.
47. Let's go to 47. Let's check out because I've got 147 on mine. Okay, 47. Okay, 47. I shall delight in your commandments which I love. 48. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments which I love. And what comes out of that love? I will meditate. Okay, on your statutes. 97. Oh, how I love your law. There's all kinds of love. This is not romantic love. This is not the kind of caring love that we even maybe have for one another. This is an esteem and reverence towards God, grown out of who he is and what kind of love he showed us that he had for us. Yes, it's an emotion, it's mental, but it's something that causes us to act. It's not just an emotion, oh, I love Jesus in my heart, you know, and then go out and not even know what Jesus teaches or care less about it. So, this is that kind of love. God loves us and seeks the good of us. So therefore, we respond by revering him and revering his word. So, any comments on that before we go ahead?
As you read through the rest of those verses there, it tells you what that love is all about. It's not a feeling thing, it's a doing.
It's a doing.
It's not just an emotional
connection. No. It calls to action. Like Pat, and we were talking.
What it did for him.
Yeah.
Made him wiser than his enemies.
Yeah.
He has more insight than his teachers because of his testimony. And so there's so many things here that can explain what this love is and what it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really good comment. Anyone else? 120, in 97 he says, talks about meditation. 127, he esteems it to be right. We've already talked about how he felt about it, that the precepts were right. And 128, this love, the outgrowth of it, and the actions that it causes, there's another action that it caused. What is in verse 128? Hating every false way. Man, that can step on all toes, doesn't it? I love your commandments. I love you, Lord, but I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not it. Every false way. But you don't understand, Lord. I like doing that. Or don't the world, you want me to be happy. So I'm going to do this, even though it's not your word. It's against your word. But I love you, Lord. There's no gray area. You either love the Lord or you follow the devil. That's a hard pill to swallow. The world doesn't like it. And the gray area sneaks in to all our lives. We try to make excuses. We try to find example somewhere in the Bible that just might fit it if we twist it just enough? Or we find somebody else to listen to? There's no gray area. You either love truth and hate falsehood. And what's falsehood in the Bible mostly? It's everything that false prophets say and false teaching. So, there's a lesson here for us. We have to be careful in our own lives not to let situation ethics, that's two words that's been around for just for a little while. Creep in. Excuses. Whatever. So, any comments on that before we leave? Verse 50 and 52b. What was the result of remembering God's word? Elizabeth has already talked about it. Revival, comfort.
Comfort myself.
Yeah. But you know what he had to do first? He had to put it in his memory. How does he get in his memory? I know. One day he woke up and during the night God zapped it all. Right there, just choom, the spirit zapped him. Is that what happens? He said, I remember. But he had to do something first. And the psalm starts with that. Seeking with all your heart. Okay. Verse 51 and 87. In verse 51, the arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. 87. They almost destroyed me on earth. He's in pretty dire circumstance, isn't he? But as for me, I did not forsake. So, action. No matter what comes, no matter what the circumstance, don't turn aside away from the law. Not to the right nor to the left. I did not forsake. We're going to mess up but hopefully we will not, we may turn aside, we may sin, but let's not go so far as to forsake, because Hebrews 10 warns and Hebrews 6 warns. There comes a time when not even the blood of Jesus dying on the cross for you is going to change you back, because you've lost your hope in it, you've lost your trust in it, and you like doing what you like doing more than you like following God's word. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's that drifting, Hebrews 10. So, not forsaking my precepts. Don't turn away from them. I'm not going to believe that anymore. That doesn't do anything for me. Where's God? Remember Job's wife? Curse God and die. Habakkuk, why God? He says, I am doing something. Just stand and watch. Wait. Hope. Trust. Just trust me, Habakkuk. I'm doing something. You may not like it, but I'm doing it. So, don't forsake. Okay. Any thoughts? First, the next ones. 52, 55, 61, 83, 109. What's the main thought here that you found?
Remembered
and did not forget. Do you sort of get it the first time you read it sometime? Do you remember it? Man, I got to go back. Now, where is that? And I've even got to key in a word so I can go find where I need to go look to look it up. Okay, you know. So, remember. God's name. What's that mean?
You mean what it all stands for? Like all of his law and his word.
Yeah. So, it's everything he is, everything he says, all of his promises, it's God's name. What's involved with God and his dealings with mankind and his law? Not just, I love you, Lord. But who he is. In reverence for that. And his law. Okay. N. I know I put 128b in there again, so we won't read that. He still talks about hating every false way. But what is his attitude in these verses that you found? Not just hating every false way, but how does he really feel about it? Verse 4 at 53.
Burning indignation.
Burning indignation. What does that mean to you? You're good with words, Dawn. What is so? What does burning indignation mean?
An extensive dislike. A strong dislike.
Extensive dislike. I like that. Because of the wicked who forsake the law. Oh, do we ever hate what's going on in the world? Do we ever just get so perturbed at it that we just sort of get mad? I can't watch some of the news, especially when there's rioting in the street and killing going on and all that kind of stuff and bad words, every other word, you turn it off. I can't stand it. I hate it. And I say, God, please deliver us from that, you know. And so, it's burning indignation. It's hating it. And not putting up with it in our lives, or maybe someone we love that we need to talk to, deal with, pray about. The sin can be so heart-wrenching to us that's what we do. We cry before the Lord. And if we have opportunity, or if they, maybe we'll pray that they'll listen to something. But it's going to have to be listening to God's word somehow, or God bringing them down to the point that they're ready to seek. But hate it enough to do something. He was in verse 139, consumed with zeal. Who else was zealous and consumed with zeal and did something against evil while he was on earth for 33 years? Paul did, but Jesus did it. Remember overturning the tables and driving those money changers out of the temple? You will not make my Father's house a robber's den. That's the God of the universe. You think Jesus was sinning there? You think the anger got the best of him and he just took a whip and went at it? Righteous indignation. He called a bunch of people a bunch of vipers. He called them snakes. He called them the devil's children because he loved them. He had burning indignation. He had love. Any thoughts? Verse 57. Susan, would you read that, please? Verse 57.
57?
Mm-hmm. 57.
The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep thy words.
What do you think that means? The Lord is my portion. Just a little something on the plate of everything else? Nope. You think it's the whole plate? Portion there means hope and inheritance. You want inheritance? You want what really counts? You want something that's really worth more than great spoil? God's word is it. And the Lord is that. Where is his real hope? Where is his portion? Life. And what does it cause him to do? In the Lord. So he promises to do what in that verse?
Keep his word.
If it means everything in the world, if it's the only thing that will get you the inheritance, what you going to do? You're not going to play around with it. You're not going to put it aside for something else. He's going to do it to the best of his ability and keep on seeking. Remember that prayer in verse 5? So, 1 Peter, the first chapter. Let's talk about us. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, and reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Then we're going to skip down to verse 13 through 15. Therefore, here's the therefore. I'm going to do his commandments. Remember over in 119? Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober. Fix your hope completely. There's the portion. There's the inheritance. Hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Skip down to 2:2. Therefore, it will do one. Putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes. Here's one of the words from 119. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So, what's your hope? What's your inheritance? You know, what you going to do about it? Peter tells Christians in those days of suffering. Peter's letters were to people suffering for the cause of Christ. This is what they were to do. Any thoughts or questions about that? The next one is pretty long, so we'll stop there, and Lord willing, we'll pick up with Pete, verse 59 and 60. because it talks about considering your ways. There's a book in the Old Testament. Of course, God talked about it to the Israelites all the time. But there's a prophet that toward the end talked about consider your ways.